So I've already had a chance to introduce Lorena, who's a promotora from Tucson, and
yay! Well, good morning or afternoon. Actually, it's still morning in Tucson, so I'm still 3 hours behind. But, whoops, what happened? Okay, so I'm going to be talking about today is the program that we are currently working under, which is Un Abrazo para la Familia. It provides Latino families with information and skills in coping with cancer and caregiving. And you can see the authors are myself, Catherine Marshall, who's also here, Catherine, and Dr. Francisco Garcia. The objectives, we will be explaining how to recruit the families who lack skills in coping with the effects of cancer, and also how to design an innovative community-based intervention for families experiencing the cancer-related stress. So this started with a background, the background on this is it was a pilot research done, and it was funded by NCI, which Catherine worked on, and I came in the last time of it. But what was done with that, it was 10 low-income families were interviewed. Out of these 10 families, 7 of the families had a family member who was diagnosed with breast cancer. It keeps changing on me by itself. Yeah, it's doing it on its own. Yeah.
I'm not sure I know how to stop.
Okay, and 8 out of 10 families were Hispanic. Oops. So this is the flyer that was used for the recruitment for the research study. As you can see, it was in bilingually done, and it asks what we want to learn is how to help you best if you're a family of a cancer survivor. I think it's that one. Okay. And the groups, the questions that we asked during the focus groups that we did with the 10 families were, please share to the extent you are comfortable about yourself and your family's cancer experience. What information and coping skills do families need? What resources are most needed? Where would phase 2 study participants feel most comfortable meeting? And examples were given, such in a church or a clinic or a public library. And also meet face-to-face once a week for 2 hours over a 6-week period. and the last one, did we cover everything, and would you like this group to meet again, meaning the focus group? So the 10 families were made up of the following. These were all females. So they were friends or caregivers, granddaughters, daughters, sister-in-laws, sisters, and mothers. And as you can see, most of them were made up of Hispanic ethnicity. So these are some of the quotes that we had from some of the families. 25%, which is 4 out of 16, voiced fears of their own cancer based on the cancer of their loved one. So they were scared about their own risks. And this is what a 28-year-old daughter reported. She says, in my experience, because when my mom was just diagnosed, I also felt bad. I felt influenced, meaning it hurt, my breast hurt or something, and I also used to say, I can also get sick. Even nowadays, this is 5 years after her mother's diagnosis, things are not the same. I'm still thinking it can also happen to me, and I'm also interested in being well and checked up. Learning to do it, meaning the breast self-exam, well, and I don't know it can happen. I want to learn how to take care of myself and how to help myself. So this is what this daughter is thinking about her own risks. This is another mother saying, and we kind of classified these under these topics. So this is about information and coping skills families that the families needed. The mother says, I think the best weapon for any family that has been diagnosed with cancer, any type of cancer, is information. The information that is available, and that sometimes I think it feels as if they do not want to give. I felt that sometimes they did not want to give me information. I do not know if they were not prepared or just did not want to. I don't know. As if they were saying, I do not care what happens to you. There's nothing here for you. So this is what her feelings were that she was getting back from the healthcare, the system. And then under the financial help, a sister says, I wish there was more financial help for these people who cannot work during this time. So some of these things, the quotes is what we took from that pilot interviews. And then the results we found are that families said that they did not have the skills to cope with the effects of cancer. They especially found it hard to deal with the survivor's depression, and there's a need for financial help. And participants also said they experienced family stress. So the next step was to develop an intervention curriculum, which is what we are using now. And as you can see, we divided it into three sessions. Session one is information, session two is training, session three includes building and social emotional support. So under the first session, we cover cancer information and we also do resources for navigating the cancer-related system. Session two, we cover communication skills in the cancer-related system and also problem solving in cancer-related systems. And the session three, we do affirmations by the promotora of learning and the skills development. And we also normalize the co-survivor stress while supporting access to the resource. So the outcomes, as you can see, is they increase cancer knowledge, increase positive and rational problem solving, increase self-efficacy of successful interaction within the cancer system. And then the distal outcomes would be to increase physical well-being, increase psychological well-being, and increase positive relationships, support, and also social well-being. So that's how the Abrazo para la Familia came to be born. And it's thanks to the three organizations at Rio Community Health Center, which is where I work, Susan G. Komen, which is the Southern Arizona, they are the grant funders, and also the University Center of Excellence for Women's Health, which Catherine and Dr. Garcia are part of. That's right. So for the Abrazo program for recruitment, this is the display board that I carry around to most parts. We use the program flyer, the display board. We participate in health fairs, we visit schools, parent groups, churches, cancer clinics, and we also developed a contact form which tells us the language that the class will be in. It will help us get the number of the handouts that we will be giving out, and it also includes the evaluation information, which is very important. And the description of the program is the three classes, as we mentioned before, they can be English or Spanish. They're designed specially for each family, and the classes are held at a place and day and the time that is convenient to each family. So these can be weekends, evening hours, it can be at a home, at a school, at one of our clinics. The content, it just changed on me, of the 3-hour class, that's fine, it includes the skills in coping and caregiving. It's also help in understanding depression, skills for solving problems, information about risk of breast cancer, and emotional support. So year one, which is last year, we served 63 families. Our goal was to serve 53, so we actually did 10 more. 6% of these families were survivors. 78% of the families were co-survivors, which included daughters and nieces and granddaughters, cousins and friends. And 69% of the participants received some kind of assistance for low-income families. Now, the results up to now, because we're on our second year, is we have currently served 46 families, 17 survivors, so that's actually a little bit more than last year, 29 co-survivors, 100% of these families have been Hispanic, and 100% of them have been female. Our goal is to reach 60 families by December 1st, so that means I gotta go straight back to work when I get back to do that. But we already have some scheduled sessions. So. The lessons we have learned so far, dividing the sessions into two, like 1.5-hour sessions, seem to work better for most families. Calling the people on the contact sheets and talking to them before the session always helps to build that relationship, and it helps them to come in to the class feeling more comfortable. And also, 3 families we found is a good number of people per session. More than that, it doesn't provide enough time for everyone to share their experiences. And that's always been a challenge for me, because I like to let them vent or bring it out, because that's what they want to do most of it. But this, since it's a structured class, we kind of have to put a limit to it. But especially if there's more families in the room. But that, I think, is a challenge for all promotoras because we like to talk and we like to listen to people. So these are just some of the quotes that the participants have said this year. This was a great learning experience. It really opened my eyes to the real situation. Thank you and God bless you. I learned how to use my knowledge to face the situation. And the Spanish ones, muy importante su labor. Uno ignora muchas cosas. En realidad, tenemos que enfrentar. Ustedes lo facilitan. Felicidades por estos talleres. Son muy importantes para nuestra comunidad. So, yeah, the next one. And just, a thank you. And this is Catherine Marshall and myself at a presentation that we did at one of our clinics for our physicians. And so, Catherine is in the room and... She doesn't like this picture, so I love to point it out.
Do we have time for questions?
Lorena, was it intentional that none of the co-survivors were men?
No. The first year we had two men.
Okay.
We had a husband and a father. And it's different to work with men, but it's just for some reason it's harder to pull them in. Actually, there are. I'm sorry. There was a family we had men, and it was the grandmother, and we had the grandkids and the son. The son-in-law actually. They're there, but I think a lot of it has to do because of the woman pulling them in, or you gotta sit here and be here. But then once they're there, they're like the ones asking the most questions. So the challenge to that is getting them there. But after that, I think they're comfortable and with the questions and all that, so. Mm-hmm. No? Any other questions?
Sure. Can you tell me a
little more about how you improve the
The coping skills for the family, or the co-survivors? There's a lot of the handouts that we give out. One of them is really great. It's called Understanding the Caregiver, and it talks about a lot about emotions, things that you can do for coping. It talks about different support groups that they can attend, and it just kind of what we do a lot of is normalize the situation. You know, this is what it is. The diagnose. These are the emotions that are going to come with it, and it's normal, and some of the strategies or things that you can do to maybe alleviate it, just like different de-stressors and stuff like that. Did that answer?
Other questions? No. I had a question. Okay. Your team of promotoras, is it you or are there several of you?
It's me and one more part-time, but the facilitator for the classes is pretty much myself. The other one is a part-time. She works 14 hours, and she's mostly there for recruitment. But it's pretty much Catherine and I.
And I know Lourdes is here as well. Maybe you could share, just we have a couple more minutes, about ASCHOW, which I know supports the community health workers in Arizona. And you're a board member, so maybe you could just share a little bit about how that fits in.
Yes, so ASCHOW, it's Arizona Community Outreach Health Workers, and it's a statewide organization that's been around for 10 years. And Lourdes can help me a little bit. I've been on the board for third year this year. Board was getting, every year was getting, changed. So we found out that you can't really do much in a year, so we changed the policies on that, and now it's every 3 years. We have a conference annually where we bring in different presenters from around the state to present on different diseases, diabetes, asthma, chronic diseases of cancer, breast cancer, cervical cancer. We had over 120 participants this last year. The year before it was, I think, close to 150 even. We have a page on, it's www.aschow.org, and you can find out more about that. We have a newsletter that comes out every quarter, and there is a fee for membership, and then there's also the conference fee. But usually we send out information about what's going on. We highlight some of the programs in the state. We let you know about conferences like this that are available. And we are really working towards doing some policy work in collaboration with other organizations in town so that can benefit the community health workers. That's like one of our big goals right now, is to work on the policy. So I hope to learn some more about that, because I'm not really into policies, but I was kind of put into that role. And so that's one of the things that we really want to see happen and advocate for our roles as community health workers. It's www.azchow.org.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.